Listening, Unit 1, page 14, E.
You will hear three different extracts. For questions 1 to 6, choose the answer A, B or C, which fits best according to what you hear. There are two questions for each extract. You will hear the extracts twice. Extract 1. You will hear a woman describing her personality.
I suppose I've always been a bit quiet. People used to say I should come out of my shell, and my friends were always trying to get me to go to parties and concerts with them, and I could never explain how I felt. I would just go along and pretend to have a good time. But inside, I couldn't really see the point. I'd much rather have stayed at home with a good book. I always got on fine with friends on a one-to-one basis, and I still adore having real conversations, but, you know, social situations where you have to make small talk with complete strangers, I'm afraid they just leave me cold. I'm finally accepting that I am an introvert, and there's nothing wrong with that. For a long time, introverts got a bad rap, primarily because extroverts are the ones making the most noise, the pushy ones, the fun ones. But we have to accept our differences and work on our strengths. I've been reading about the different personality types, and it explains a lot about our ways of looking at the world. My extrovert family gets bored if they are alone for too long. They need that stimulation. But for me, being the opposite, I need to be alone after being around too many people. I get overwhelmed and need to recharge my batteries, whereas extroverts need company and excitement to do the same.
Now listen again. Extract 1. You will hear a woman describing her personality.
I suppose I've always been a bit quiet. People used to say I should come out of my shell, and my friends were always trying to get me to go to parties and concerts with them, and I could never explain how I felt. I would just go along and pretend to have a good time. But inside, I couldn't really see the point. I'd much rather have stayed at home with a good book. I always got on fine with friends on a one-to-one basis, and I still adore having real conversations, but, you know, social situations where you have to make small talk with complete strangers, I'm afraid they just leave me cold. I'm finally accepting that I am an introvert, and there's nothing wrong with that. For a long time, introverts got a bad rap, primarily because extroverts are the ones making the most noise, the pushy ones, the fun ones. But we have to accept our differences and work on our strengths. I've been reading about the different personality types, and it explains a lot about our ways of looking at the world. My extrovert family gets bored if they are alone for too long. They need that stimulation. But for me, being the opposite, I need to be alone after being around too many people. I get overwhelmed and need to recharge my batteries, whereas extroverts need company and excitement to do the same.
Extract 2. You will hear an interview with a sociologist about crowd behaviour.
We often see people getting carried away in crowds, perhaps behaving in ways that are uncharacteristic and doing things they wouldn't if they were alone. What exactly is happening when people come together in crowds?
Yes, it's true that people behave differently in crowds. Sociologists have come up with different theories to explain this phenomenon. One of the earliest was put forward by Gustave Le Bon. He formulated what he called the contagion theory, which dates back to 1895. He suggested that large numbers of people surrender to the hypnotic emotions of the crowd. The emotions are contagious, if you like. There is also the feeling of anonymity offered by the crowd, which encourages individuals to deny personal responsibility for their actions. This is quite a popular theory, but it hasn't been scientifically proved.
So he said that the crowd can influence people to behave badly?
Yes, if the overriding emotion is a violent one. But critics don't accept this. Some argue the opposite is true. This theory is called the convergence effect, and its supporters say that, contrary to popular belief, it is not the crowd that influences the individual, but that individuals with certain tendencies come together to form crowds. They're drawn to each other, if you like. The crucial difference is that the behaviour in this case originates from the individuals, although the crowd gives them the courage to behave in ways they would not do alone.
But in both cases, there is an unwillingness to accept personal responsibility.
Yes, but of course there are many more theories.
Now listen again. Extract 2. You will hear an interview with a sociologist about crowd behaviour.
We often see people getting carried away in crowds, perhaps behaving in ways that are uncharacteristic and doing things they wouldn't if they were alone. What exactly is happening when people come together in crowds?
Yes, it's true that people behave differently in crowds. Sociologists have come up with different theories to explain this phenomenon. One of the earliest was put forward by Gustave Le Bon. He formulated what he called the contagion theory, which dates back to 1895. He suggested that large numbers of people surrender to the hypnotic emotions of the crowd. The emotions are contagious, if you like. There is also the feeling of anonymity offered by the crowd, which encourages individuals to deny personal responsibility for their actions. This is quite a popular theory, but it hasn't been scientifically proved.
So he said that the crowd can influence people to behave badly?
Yes, if the overriding emotion is a violent one. But critics don't accept this. Some argue the opposite is true. This theory is called the convergence effect, and its supporters say that, contrary to popular belief, it is not the crowd that influences the individual, but that individuals with certain tendencies come together to form crowds. They're drawn to each other, if you like. The crucial difference is that the behaviour in this case originates from the individuals, although the crowd gives them the courage to behave in ways they would not do alone.
But in both cases, there is an unwillingness to accept personal responsibility.
Yes, but of course there are many more theories.
Extract 3. You will hear a woman talking about the qualities employers look for.
So, you've got the qualifications and skills for the job, but what employers are looking for, apart from how great you look on paper, is particular personal qualities. Recruiters can tell a lot about a candidate at an interview, but they can really get to know you if they offer you an internship. How can you turn that into a permanent position? Although jobs and organisations vary, employers look for some basic common qualities. Competence is number one on my list, the ability to get the job done. This requires organisation, prioritising tasks and great time management. Courage is also important, and this includes a willingness to take the initiative and take risks, but also to stand up for yourself. Nobody wants a yes man anymore. This can, of course, lead to failure, and this brings us to another quality that's key, the ability to be honest with yourself and admit to making mistakes. This is integrity, and it also means you are a loyal employee and will not criticise colleagues. Likeability is also important, because you need to be able to get along with a team of different people and work together effectively.
Now listen again. Extract 3. You will hear a woman talking about the qualities employers look for.
So, you've got the qualifications and skills for the job, but what employers are looking for, apart from how great you look on paper, is particular personal qualities. Recruiters can tell a lot about a candidate at an interview, but they can really get to know you if they offer you an internship. How can you turn that into a permanent position? Although jobs and organisations vary, employers look for some basic common qualities. Competence is number one on my list, the ability to get the job done. This requires organisation, prioritising tasks and great time management. Courage is also important, and this includes a willingness to take the initiative and take risks, but also to stand up for yourself. Nobody wants a yes man anymore. This can, of course, lead to failure, and this brings us to another quality that's key: the ability to be honest with yourself and admit to making mistakes. This is integrity, and it also means you are a loyal employee and will not criticise colleagues. Likeability is also important, because you need to be able to get along with a team of different people and work together effectively.